You know, I'd love to have had for breakfast what Roger Federer had yesterday morning. He won the French Open yesterday, defeating Robin Soderling in straight sets, tying the record of 14 major singles titles held by Pete Sampras. But Sampras, the retired American champion, never won the French Open. It was the only one of the game's four most prestigious tournaments to be played on clay. So is Federer the greatest player ever? Well, the arguments disputing the fact that Federer might just be the greatest tennis player of all time are gradually diminishing. Harvey Eriton joins us, a New York Times sports columnist. Harvey, I mean, it's becoming harder and harder to make the argument that Federer isn't the greatest of all time. What do you make of the victory yesterday?
Well, I think it certainly puts him in the class where, if he's not considered the single greatest player of all time, then perhaps he shares the mantle with Rod Laver, who won only 11 Grand Slams, but went through a 5-year period as a professional where he was barred from playing in the Grand Slams in the so-called amateur era.
Right.
And also won as an amateur and a professional several years apart, all the tournaments in a calendar year. But Federer now is obviously elevating himself to a point where, you know, he's won 14. He's tied Sampras, and Sampras is pretty much out of the discussion because he never even made the finals in Paris.
Right.
Roger has obviously won 3 times in Australia, 5 times at Wimbledon, 5 times at the U.S. Open, and now the French. So, and he's only 27 years old. I think he turns 28 this summer. So,
we're
talking about a guy who has a chance to, you know, pile on some more and then, you know, end the discussion once and for all.
Well, Harvey, you know, the interesting statistic to me was yesterday Federer became only the 6th man to win the singles title at all of the Grand Slam tournaments. I mean, you sort of suggested that. But here are the others. There's Andre Agassi, Rod Laver, Roy Emerson, Fred Perry, and Don Budge. How different players are those, or are they all with a good argument for being fabulous all-around tennis players as opposed to specific, you know, sort of standouts?
Well, again, you know, it's difficult to compare era to era. Some of these players, actually all of them with the exception of Andre Agassi, when they won career slams, they won on clay in Paris, they won on grass at Wimbledon, but back in the days when there were days when the U.S. Open was on grass and also the Australian Open was on grass. So I think in the modern era, you're going to have to give some points to the players like Federer and Agassi for winning on hard courts in the U.S. Open and in Australia and grass and clay. Now another guy to throw into this is of course Rafael Nadal, who has already won the French Open, obviously, and has won at Wimbledon and has won at Australia. So he's won on all different surfaces. He has not completed the career slam because he has yet to win the U.S. Open. And he's now dealing with some problems with his knee. And most people who are, you know, the experts in tennis have expected if Nadal will be derailed as from elevating himself into the category of the greatest among the greatest players, it will be because of the stress on his body. He's a very muscular player, and he really is a grinder of a player. And there's a feeling that his body might break down if he moves into his mid to later 20s.
Well, as entertaining as it is to watch Nadal play, he is a streaky kind of player, and a lot of the tennis players do have these streaks where they're hot and not. Federer, it seems to me, is robot-like in that even on a bad day, he has an incredible capacity to bring his play to a competitive level.
Well, Roger's perhaps, you know, perhaps the most impressive aspect of his run is that he's reached a Grand Slam semifinal in 20 straight tournaments. And, you know, when you think about that, from year to year, avoiding, he's never lost to a player outside the top 5 in a Grand Slam.
That's amazing.
During this run. And so he's avoided all upsets. He's, you know, he's obviously, you know, had Nadal not come along at sort of a precocious as a precocious and well-developed LeBron James-like teenager in terms of his physical stature, Roger, you know, would have already rocketed past 14 and would have won the French Open. I think, you know, there's a sort of a distortion. There was a sort of a distortion at work with Roger and the French Open up until yesterday or until this year, where he seemed, you know, it seemed to people he was kind of feeble on the clay because he'd get to the final or the three straight finals and then the year before that, the semifinals, and lose to Nadal. And last year, of course, he was completely demolished in the final. But the man has reached four straight French Open finals. And again, you know, you realize the degree of difficulty. He's been dominant at Wimbledon. He's been dominant at the U.S. Open on the hard courts. And he's now made four straight French Open finals and finally won it. So, he's a gifted player. And I think the best thing for Roger is that in the last, you know, in this particular French Open, he really, showed a lot of fight.
It's a mental, emotional thing, and he really just sort of blew the asterisks away from his resume by winning the French Open yesterday. Harvey Arreton, thanks so much for being with us. He's a columnist for the New York Times, talking about Federer's win of his 14th Grand Slam event, tying the record of Pete Sampras.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.